Welcome to the Men of Eight Gang podcast for Saturday, February 14th, 2009. And we're going to be going kind of quickly today because, of course, it's Valentine's Day and none of us have gone shopping for our brides. But
you're buying a new bride? How do you do that?
Yeah. This is Steve from Russia. This is Steve Borsch. And who's on? Who is just teasing me? Who is that?
It's Phil Wilson. Good morning.
How you doing? Who else?
I'm good. On the other side of Lakeville, it's Tim Elliott.
Morning, Tim. The other side of Lakeville, like the bad side of town where there is no law.
And in prestigious West Bloomington, it's
the far northwest corner, almost into Eden Prairie.
Yeah. Graham Thickens. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Excellent.
Well, we've got to start off talking about Mini Demo and what happened there and what you guys' experience was and so on. And Tim, why don't you start off by talking about your impressions and what happened?
Well, it was great to see the turnout. I think there had to be somewhere almost to 300, if not a little bit more in that space. So the networking was great as usual. Demos I thought were interesting. But you know, just like every other mini demo, there's really only a handful of companies that, you know, you can see sort of take their ideas or their products from this stage into something to build a business. So I kind of liked Instratus and LoudClick quite a bit from what they had to show. And that SendOnQ, which is just, you know, basically a feature to Gmail, I thought was interesting just from a personal standpoint, since I spend quite a bit of my day inside Gmail and thought that was kind of useful.
Yep.
But I'm not sure if you could build a company based upon that.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of features and a lot of, you know, just projects. I mean, a certain amount of the mini demo audience is really kind of just code for the sake of code, kind of hobbyist stuff, you know, fun little problems to solve that are elegant to a lot of other, you know, developers. And so yeah, you're right. They all didn't come in there with a business model. And there was an interesting discussion on my blog about that. But, you know, I was wondering from hearing from some other folks is, you know, these are great, great concepts, some of them, but, you know, where's the business model? And it wasn't talked about very much at Mini Demo, and you know, that traditionally hasn't been the focus, but I think more and more.
Did anybody else lose Graham there?
No.
Okay, sorry, that's me then. Darn.
No. but I was going to say, increasingly, I think more and more of the demonstrators are trying to launch viable businesses, and let's face it, are seeking funding, and you know, many of them are there for. You know, with that in mind, they're going out to raise money to build a business. But, you know, I don't know what the count was, the split between the nine presenters. But, you know, I don't know, maybe half of them aren't.
Right.
They're just
right.
Interesting projects that may or may not ever turn into a business. But there definitely were, you know, certainly four, five, six there that are definitely intending to be. Become a business.
What I was impressed by was, you know, the, like, for example, the association management platform from Arcstone. I was particularly interested in that because there's a guy I'm connected with, Jeff DeCagna, with principledinnovation.com, who's a Harvard MBA and is just focused on the association space. And they need a lot of help and they need a lot of tools. And this fits right into that. So I thought that was interesting. I agree on Instratus and LoudClick, but I was also interested in how Nabit has progressed, that they're clearly moving on putting together a lot of different features and you know, getting the platform more entrenched. So it was,
that was one that kind of bothered me though. To be kind of honest, because it maybe I'm not the typical customer that they would be looking for. But, you know, I don't listen to radio very much anymore. And this seems like they're so keyed on to commercial radio as opposed to, you know, say satellite or something like that. So I would use it if they had a serious feature so I could, you know, I could find out what was playing on there because my head unit in my car doesn't tell me.
Really?
Why doesn't it in your car?
Really? It was the one built into the Chrysler, so they didn't have the readout of the song, unfortunately.
Right.
So, you know, so I'm constantly trying to do that. So we're, you know, if my son's with me on his G1, we can use Shazam and that works. But if he's not, we just don't know what the song is. So I can see utility for that, especially since it's a low tech solution as opposed to something like Shazam. Which requires a smartphone, you know, to work. But I have to question, you know, how many people are still listening to terrestrial radio these days?
There actually are still a lot of people listening to terrestrial radio. Believe it or not, about 90% of America still tunes in at some point in time during the week. But Sirius, it's interesting that you bring up Sirius and XM because there's every chance that may not be around that much longer. They're on the very verge of bankruptcy.
Yeah.
But I was kind of curious about that. Did anybody get to meet the Nabbit girl?
No.
Well, you know, that was one of those things that they did as a little marketing thing that if you wanted to become a Nabbit girl, send in a video. I thought it was sort of, you know, pretty old school radio and couldn't quite exactly figure out why they needed to have a Nabbit girl. But, that's interesting. It's interesting to see how that, as you said, Steve, how Nabbit has really progressed from, you know, being a tagging solution to really kind of a full on marketing concept.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, what I was struck by too was how many people were there. I think you mentioned him 300 plus. I think that was there were 320 signed up. One common theme that ran through all the demos was that this is great that we're aware as a geek audience, and it's wonderful that, you know, Minovate exists so that we can showcase this and do the videos of the demos and so on. But, you know, how do they get the word out to the normal public, people with checkbooks, companies, organizations that would buy? Do you guys have any thoughts around that about how these companies would go to the next level?
Well, I think, you know, it's you're kind of talking about marketing on a shoestring. Is that what you're talking about, or just marketing in general? Yeah, marketing on a shoestring. I mean, that's the great thing, you know, just the things that we're doing here, whether it be a podcast or a webinar or, you know, just putting together a social media strategy allows you to do that. And really all it takes is man hours. It doesn't really take much money. You know, you could spend money to make it really flashy, but you don't have to. So I think that, you know, we live in a world right now that allows us to, you know, really move to a marketing scheme a lot faster and without a lot of money.
Right. Things that previous mini demo presenters have done, like Steve Kickert at One Place. I mean, I helped him launch a social media strategy and get plugged in with the larger community nationally through a conference participation. And, Steve's the kind of guy that'll just sit down and create a screencast and a good one, you know, to demonstrate the software. And I think, you know, most of these developers and entrepreneurs are capable of doing that themselves. It's like Phil says, it's just putting in some time. They know the tools. And doing one-on-one demonstrations of their far-flung customers that find them via their blog or social media or attendance at conferences. I mean, that's what they have to do. They have to get out and start beating the bushes and, you know, getting out there. You're not just gonna automatically have customers rushing to your door when you put up a website. Ain't going to happen. You got to go out and find them, collar them.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I found interesting was when you did that post, Graham, about all the presenters, and there were links in there for who they all are and so on. Prior to going in and doing the interviews at Mini Demo, I thought, well, geez, I should go out and absorb all their value propositions and figure out who does what and, you know, kind of get a sense of what they're doing so I can ask some intelligent questions. And I'm a real devotee of the 30-second value proposition that if I come to your homepage and you can't tell me in 30 seconds what you do, chances are I'm going to leave. And one of the things that struck me about many of the sites of these startups is that there's so much text and there's so much going on that it's going to take me 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes to go through and to try to figure out what the essence of their value proposition is. So that's probably step one. So I love the screencast idea about doing that. But what about an education strategy? What about webinars, doing talks at mini bar, pulling together a session, maybe doing seminars, mm-hmm. pulling together your own unconference, things like that. Cause it feels like that's what Cloud Camp is going to be as an example.
Yep.
Yeah. There's no,
I was going to say that's a classic example of one of our recent presenters in Stratus, George Reese, organizing that Cloud Camp.
Right.
I'd say look to Instratus to see how, how you do things in this regard, from a, proactive marketing standpoint. Of course, George has the advantage of just having written a book for O'Reilly on cloud computing, which comes out in March or April. And so, I think you're going to be hearing a lot more from Instratus. I think that was, in my book, the most serious, well-planned launch at mini demo, head and shoulders above the rest from what I've seen. And, having written a book doesn't hurt, and obviously George is going to be speaking at conferences, has already lined one up at he's going to be speaking at the Glue conference in Denver in May. And there'll be plenty of other opportunities too. So I would encourage others to look at what they're doing, and they put up a fairly decent website, Steve, in a short amount of time. I mean, they didn't spend a lot of time and effort on it, but I think they know something about good messaging and communicating the value proposition and the elevator pitch kinds of things, which you can see on their website. And of course, they're a spin out of a successful startup by the name of Valtera. So these guys have done it before.
Right.
So I got to write a book now. Jeez, I just got into reading.
Just look at the pictures, e-book. Phil.
Well, talk to Steve Borsch about ebooks. I mean, this guy's amazing, there are, you can put white papers and whatever you want to call them, digital e-books, whatever, it can be done. You got to get people that know how to communicate in written form, you got to know how to talk it, and you got to know how to do that elevator speech to investors. But you better be able to string together some words to have a damn good executive summary too, and be able to put things on your website that are communicate value to those who hit your site. Because when you say 30 seconds, Steve, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that might say 8 seconds, if you hit that site, and you don't get what you don't understand what's going on inside of 8 or 10 seconds, you're going to be gone. A lot of people. So,
well, go ahead, Tim.
I was just going to say that one other thing that we saw from many of these is sort of the freemium model, where you can actually use your service as a way to market it. So, give people a try before they buy kind of experience. Obviously, you have to drive them to the website first.
Well, I got to tell you from an extension of brand or mission. The webinar or a lot of these online tools have been, very successful for an organization I've been involved with called the Conclave, which, talks to broadcasters. But, we put on a conference every year here in Minneapolis, and it's a, 3 to 4 day thing that takes, a year to put together. And we spend a lot of time and people travel in, and they spend a lot of time going from session to session to session. And over the last 6 months, we've been able to put together, 4, 5, or 6 webinars on various topics that would normally be covered at the conference. And we can spend more time and be more in depth through the webinar. We can reach people for little or no money. All they have to do is turn on their computer, and it's a great extension. It really helps, move the meter for us.
Well, and to Graham's point on that ebook, I did that Rise of the Participation Culture that I released back in November of 2006.
Yeah, still trying to get through that thing. Wow.
You are so mean.
I have it in my stack of reading.
No. Yeah, it's only been over 2 years since I downloaded it.
Through the middle, but it's starting to pick up.
Okay, so. All right. I just wanted to get to one thing, which was that my two business advisors absolutely hammered on me to have an ask for an email, ask for something, and I resisted because of the whole friction that creates an objection that people don't do it because they don't know how you're going to use it, even if you have a privacy policy. So I just gave it away. And to date, I've had two clients come to me that absolutely were significantly greater than any money I could have ever gotten for the damn thing. I mean, if I would have sold 1,000 of them at $50 a piece, I mean, it would have just been nickels and dimes compared to the clients that came to me because of that report. And right now I've had over 17,000 downloads of it. And not that, you know, it's done a whole bunch beyond those two clients, but
I was going to say, so you've got 17,000 people downloading something without an ask. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I know, but I did it, you know, part of it was an experiment and just like we've talked, the four of us, about the people that we follow and like to follow, and Graham, and I'm seeing you do it, Tim, like crazy, which is you put value into that 140 character tweet. So it's a pointer to an article, or it's something you've seen that you'd like to share with the people that follow. And that's what this PDF ebook was that I did. And that's what I'm seeing others do. And it's not just the freemium model, come in and try our stuff, but it's something beyond that. I'm going to help you in a different way. I'm going to provide you with something that makes you understanding and learning and accepting my product. And it's not just about my product. My product is key to this, but I'm going to help you understand this, that is maybe higher value. And I'm wondering what you guys think of that, about that. That kind of gets into the webinar and the seminar and the unconference and the teaching and education aspect of delivering value on top of your software.
Absolutely. You have to understand what the customer's needs are. And, you know, you just can't be out there selling the features of your software. If you can bring people together in an online webinar or in a face-to-face kind of a seminar or unconference, you know, you need to find out what are your customers looking for. You know, you don't just lead with, well, here's what my software does and here's these neat features. You find out what they want to talk about. And, you know, you soft sell the application in the background. You know, you get, I think, getting people to talk about what the issues that they're facing now, you know, what are they concerned with? What problems are they trying to solve out there that possibly your application could help them do? And, you need to get out there and do that both through social media strategy and, you know, specific event and content strategies that will involve customers and talking with you and getting that conversation going. And you know, hopefully enough of them will find interest in your software to check it out, try it, and perhaps find that it solves a need that they have in their business.
Well, we had a contact form that arrived ironically this morning from off of Minovate. A woman wrote in and asked. And it showed what pages she had gone through, and she said, how can I get some social media training? And she's looking for kind of a social media 101, what tools to use, how to use them, and so on. And what struck me about that was, A, here's an opportunity for somebody to teach or somebody to help her go to the next level, whatever. But also that there's an assumption by all of us who go to the social media breakfast, as an example, or who do participate, that it's not all that hard. You just got to get in the game and you'll learn it as you go. And there's a big component to that. But there's also another example, which was yesterday, there's a new group that has come together of people that are players in restaurant concepts and brand building and all of that. I mean, and I'm not going to talk about who they are, but they're forming a new group and they built a prototype site, and it's all about a website, not, you know, it's a series of pages and no social media component. And there's nothing that is an engaging and conversation component and so forth. And you start to look at this and you say, it's just not going to work going forward. And he and I are going to get together on Monday and talk about that. But there's a great need out there for not just another collaboration application or another, you know, Twitter something built on the API, but to get out there and to help people understand how all this stuff can be used or how your application can be used. And I'm sure you guys have heard the meme that customer service is the new marketing. Because if you fall down, what happens? You know, if you're Comcast.
Should never have been the old marketing. Right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's like,
but it's because of,
you know,
go ahead.
It is interesting that you bring that up, though, because the rise of this social media, these new ways of communicating has brought customer service back to the forefront, because now we can tell so many people about our customer experience.
Bingo.
Through these things. And, you know, and it's always been very important. I mean, that old adage of if you have a great experience, you know, they'll tell a few people. You have a lousy experience, they'll tell 20 people. So, you know, now that is so easy for anybody to act on. If I'm a Twitter user or a Facebook user, you know, I have a bad experience, bang, everybody I talk to on a regular basis knows about it. And or if I have a good experience, it's just that too. So I think that's the vital piece here, that customer service is back to the forefront because the communication tools are proliferating.
Well, and it's also I'm using Mogulus, the online broadcast studio in a box, and they had a freemium model so they could get everybody involved in using Mogulus for some time. And then in their support area, they had a forum. When they finally released the pro accounts and the pricing for the pro accounts, it's $350 a month and you get 25 gigs of bandwidth. Well, people quickly ran the numbers based on what they already were doing. And one guy comes out and says, no, wait a minute. Based on this, I'm going to pay you guys $250,000 in a year for the bandwidth. And people in the community, there's this big uproar. And because there was not an expectation set on what bandwidth actually costs, and to give people a little bit of an idea about what it would take, but that there was no education, there was no engagement. And now I see Mogulus is in really dealing with the community, really dealing with all the early adopters to help them understand that they're going to work, and they are working really hard at figuring out another model. You know, maybe something in between, or maybe a pro light or something, but it's that you know, sort of that engagement model and the customer service model and the community model all rolled into one. That's different than it's ever been before. And I don't know where I was going with that.
It was a great story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Tell me another one, Steve.
Yeah. Tell me another one, Uncle. Good night, Moon.
I love that one.
All right. Okay, you know what? We promised 30 minutes, so let's
know,
wrap up.
I know. You know, and you know, you're right on the money. And I think that for that social media training or that training or that intro, you know, listen to podcasts such as this, get on the web, Google your brains out. There is so much to be learned. And the great thing is there are so many people that are willing to teach. That's what drew me into this space from broadcast. It's like we used to be in broadcast. We're very inclusive. You know, we'll show you how it's done. We're not too worried about, you know, giving you any trade secrets or anything. It's a very open community, so I encourage anybody to get into that.
Yeah, I agree, Phil. It's all about sharing. This whole social media thing is just amazing. The relationships you make through, you know, even Twitter. I mean, it's just tremendous. And you know, you learn a lot from your colleagues that you new and old. I mean, people that you meet on social media end up becoming some of your best friends. And you actually get to meet them in person when you go to some of these events, which is fun.
What a great segue. Thanks very much. That's great, Grant. Appreciate it. Just wanted to give the shout out to the folks over at Twestival. I went to that on Thursday night. That was really kind of very interesting. You know, a lot of my friends on Facebook looked at me, like, you know, sent me an email saying, what the heck's Twestival? You know, you could just see them raising their eyebrows and going, oh, what weird stuff.
Is Elmer Fudd going to be there?
Yeah, right. Exactly. And it was a great event. It was over at Moto I, which is a new sake sushi sort of joint. So we had a great time, a good crowd, about 175 cities involved in Twestival to raise money for Charity Water, which is an organization that helps bring clean drinking water to areas where clean drinking water is unheard of. And, we had a great time. So a smaller group than our usual social media crowd. But the great thing was new people I had not met that are also using Twitter. You know, it's nice to get out of your comfort zone into new circles of friends. And I think Twestival did that as well.
Well, and I got to give a shout out to our own Tim Elliott. And the reason is that I've actually been going to timelliott.us. and looking at where you are engaged, because you're kind of my hero on your choices, and you've got them listed in the right column. But that's one of the things that I've looked at with you, Tim, is that you will look at all these services and you'll make decisions on where you want to participate, and then you'll get in there based on whatever criteria you use, but. You're really in the game, and you're really at that, you know, at all these different touch points.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up was that you really have to work at this. And I tend to be a dabbler, which is a not a good thing, I think, I do a little bit in a whole bunch of different areas just to try to understand what these services do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll sign up to Plurk and I'll use it for a week. And then, you know, I probably haven't been in there for, I don't know, 3 months now. So I'm a little bit like, you know, if I don't see a value over what I'm using now for microblogging, which is Twitter, I'll tend to not use that service. And when Pounce was with us, that was the same thing.
Right.
I used it for a while and then I stopped using it.
Yep.
And Twitter is, you know, the tool for that particular thing. But, yeah, I look at a lot of different things and I try to adapt it and try to get in there to use it before I recommend it to clients.
Yeah, well, that's what it's all about. I mean, if you don't do it, if you're not in the game, you know, you can't just stand back and just say, well, geez, we're going to have a Twitter strategy. No, you're not. If you don't know anything about it, if you're not living it, if you're not really understanding how to have a conversation with people, and you don't try this stuff, you're never going to know what it does. And you can't develop an intuitive feel for how to leverage it or how to be engaged in it.
Well, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about social media that you know, at a high level, you know, it looks like it's, you know, it's inexpensive or free. It's pretty easy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just like anything else. These are just a tool set that are built on top of Web 2.0, and it still takes work. It still takes planning. It still takes people to actually make it work. I've not seen any automation strategy aside from using, you know, some casual things like Twitter feed to maybe tweet your Google Reader shared links, things like that, which you still have to read Google Reader and you still have to click on the share button to share those links. So it's connected to someone doing something.
Yep. Well, guys, let's wrap up. Have a great weekend and keep at it.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day. Big kisses to everybody.
Hey, one last thing before.
Okay, that was kind of sick.
You know, I just bent over to pick up a pencil when you did that, Phil. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
But one last note before we sign off is that Tuesday will be the 1-year anniversary of Minovate. So congratulations, Steve.
Oh, my God. You're right.
It is?
The 17th.
That's right.
17th of February. Right. Yeah.
Thank you for remembering. Well, we're going to have a party.
There's some sort of, is there some sort of staff party?
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
Can we make eyes at the secretary, you know, photocopy our butt? Come on.
That's right. All right. Hey, have a great weekend.
You too.
You too. All right,
take care, guys. Bye now. Yep.